Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. As you sip coffee and watch the morning news on any major U.S. news network, you're led to believe that God is in His heaven and all is well with the world. Yes, God is in heaven, no doubt about that, but all is not well with the world. After sipping your coffee and watching a little of the fluff news on U.S. television, you get in your car and head to work. On the way, you notice that gasoline was $2.69 a gallon yesterday, but today it is $2.79, a 10-cent jump overnight. That's what happened here in East Texas. And you shake your head and wonder why the sudden rise in gasoline prices. That is about the only thing you notice in your world that mildly concerns you. Other than the rise in fuel prices, you are hardly aware that the world's geopolitical situation is analogous to a ticking time bomb that is about to explode. Yet there is no sense of urgency in the psyche of American people. You notice on the way home from work that you have a half a tank of gas, so you think, I'll fill up. Who knows? It may be $2.89 a gallon tomorrow. You fill up and go in to pay, but you have to wait a long time as people are buying their lottery tickets. They look like they would have been better served by buying a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. What is wrong with us? We either have our heads buried in the sand, or we are in a state of denial. We just don't get it. Not all things are going to continue as from the beginning. A day of reckoning is at hand. Illegal aliens continue to pour across our borders to the tune of 12 million in the past few years, and more are coming every day. When Congress drafts a bill that would potentially stop this wave of invasion, the illegal aliens take to the street by the thousands. But Middle America, if there is such an entity known as Middle America, remains uninvolved, unconcerned, and surfs the channels on their television set for the next sporting event or for the inside scoop on one of their idols. Americans now worship at the altar of celebrity. It doesn't seem to matter to Americans how weird the lifestyles of their idols are. They still worship at their feet. Tom Cruise yesterday revealed his latest bizarre mission. That is, to eat his new baby's placenta. One UK journalist dubbed him Tom Chews. Chews. Celebrities can fornicate, commit adultery, curse, swear, and bear it all, but they're still idolized in the U.S. Once again, the silent majority is living up to its name. The silence is deafening. What will it take for the silent majority to wake out of slumber and realize that the barbarians have conquered their will to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to surrender? Even those who attend church are largely oblivious to the barbarian invasion. Yes, there is a real cultural war being waged in America, as well as abroad. There are all kinds of wars, shooting wars abroad. But Americans insulate themselves with a religious ritual and feel-good activities, somehow thinking that a form of religion makes them righteous. They really don't want to hear the truth. They may talk about the price of gasoline or the wave of illegal aliens that are swarming over the land like a band of locusts devouring the prey, but they don't really want to hear the reality of the situation. Well, did Isaiah prophesy that this would be the case? That people would be saying to the prophets in the end times, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And a concerted effort is being made to try to remove God totally from our view. Wherefore, says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and yet at the same time, my comment, thinking that you are free, and you trust in that, therefore this iniquity, and the word iniquity means lawlessness, shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. The old-line church denominations in the U.S. are facing a crisis with dwindling attendance, especially among the youth. Of course, they have never really preached the Word of God. They have spoken smooth things for centuries in the name of a cult of orthodoxy. So what do they try to do to bring in new converts? Do they follow the admonition of the Apostle Paul, who writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." No, do you think that people are going to do that? Are they really going to preach the Word of God? Is that what the old line denominations are going to do? Or for that matter, any of the denominations? Many of them are showing on television some of the most unbelievable things that you can imagine in the name of the Holy Spirit, healing people. They line people up on stage. Someone comes up and touches the person in front, and they all fall backwards, and then they get up and say that they're healed. Let me tell you, there's no example in the Bible of one falling backwards when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's what happens to those who are possessed of demons when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you in the right way, you fall forward, face down, bowing and worshiping before God. In Providence, Rhode Island, Pastor Robert Brooks welcomed worshipers to Grace Episcopal Church with this format. As they came in the door, he warned them to protect their hearing as the electric guitar in the U2 rock band played what they call their anthem, "Pride in the Name of Love." It faded from the four speakers, and eventually he got up to speak, and he said, "If sound's an issue, we do have earplugs available." Ushers handed out earplugs and fluorescent glow sticks for the U2 Eucharist, a communion service punctuated by the Irish rock band's music. Episcopal parishes from California to Maine have hosted similar events, weaving U2's tunes, which are laced with biblical references, into the liturgy. Streamers flew over worshipers' heads at the recent gathering in Providence. Children danced by the altar. Plasma screen televisions illuminated the Gothic sanctuary. Some people sang and clapped, while a few looked puzzled. Brooks said the evening was designed to invigorate his once-aging congregation, attracting young people and those interested in social activism. He said, quote, "We absolutely need to grow in order to survive." Once again, the words of the Apostle Paul ring out loud and clear. In 2 Timothy 3:5, he writes, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." What is the power of God? The power of God is to make us new creations in Christ Jesus our Lord, whereby we'll be able to rule over the flesh. Paul writes in Romans 8:13, "If you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. But of course, if you let the flesh rule over you, you shall die." So what about you? Are you content with feel-good religion? Or do you want to really know what is going on in this world and come to understand why things are the way they are and what you need to do about it? All the news channels, both radio and television, are sponsored by commercial interests, usually large corporations. Some might rebut with the notion that National Public Radio, NPR, or Public Broadcast System on television, PBS, that they are truly independent and sponsored by the public. But nothing could be farther from the truth. NPR and PBS are largely funded by corporate foundations who have a powerful political agenda. As time goes on, it will be increasingly difficult to really know what is going on in our world. There are very few voices that are crying out. There are a few opinion editorial writers who will attempt to lay the truth bare, but they are becoming a rare breed. There are a few religious leaders who try to sound the trumpet, but most of them fall into the cult of orthodoxy and thus interpret the Bible according to tradition. The Bible states that the wages of sin is death, but orthodoxy states that you will burn forever in hell. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, you have to have the Holy Spirit to bridge that gap between mortality and immortality, and you're not going to live forever without the Spirit of God. The incorrigibly wicked will burn in hell fire, but they will be burned up, which is the second death, from which there is no resurrection. The Bible states that the saints are going to rule and reign on the earth, Revelation 5:10. But orthodoxy teaches that you will go to heaven. These are but two examples of scores of events that are held dear by orthodoxy. You don't have to have or be a slave to orthodoxy. You can open the pages of your Bible and see what it says for yourself. Read Revelation 5:10, and have made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. How is that for the plain truth? When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll see that the world situation is analogous to a ticking time bomb, and the countdown is approaching the zero hour. The geopolitical situation grows tenser every day, and about the only way that the average American is really aware of this is the fact that gas prices, that is, gasoline prices, are rising very rapidly. In fact, all fuel prices are rising very rapidly, and petroleum is the foundation that the infrastructure of nearly everything that is produced in the world today, from the food we eat to the clothes on our back to distributing the goods around the world. All of these things go back to petroleum. And we see that because of the world situation, the futures market continues to skyrocket almost every day in that sector of petrochemicals. So what does this mean for you? It means that you really need to understand what is happening in this world. You need to subscribe to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that we will send you free of charge. It is a bi-monthly publication. A publication of understanding that will help you understand who you are, what you are, and what is the purpose of human existence, and how you can cope with the everyday situations that you face in this world, and at the same time also teach you about what is to come and about the kingdom of God. And at the same time, request our booklet, Are We Living in the Last Days? Both of these publications will be sent to you free of charge with no follow-up. No one will call on you. No one will ask for money. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we look at the geopolitical situation today, we see that the U.S.-led coalition, mainly the U.S., is fighting two active wars at the present time, with war looming over the recalcitrant position of the Iranians on nuclear power. The United States has not even begun to really secure Afghanistan before it launched its invasion of Iraq. Americans are still dying in Afghanistan as the Iranian-backed insurgency rages in Iraq. The Council on Foreign Relations reports that, quote, Afghanistan is on life support with woefully inadequate funding to make a dent on the world's largest crop of opium poppies, insufficient troops to counter a resurgent Taliban, and a potential for disaster. Arno de Birchgrave, editor of the Washington Times, writes, time and again, official spokespersons have claimed the Taliban was in its last throes, much the way the Iraqi insurgency was inaccurately described as terminal. But the truth is, NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the U.S. and Western European nations, is doubling its 10,000-strong force in Afghanistan by November of this year. No, the war is far from over in Afghanistan. In Kyrgyzstan, one of the new democracies nurtured by the U.S., they recently elected Mafia chief Rybek Akhmatbayev to parliament with 79% of the vote scoring to him on April the 9th. He is linked to Afghanistan's multi-billion dollar heroin trade. In January, he was acquitted on triple homicide charges. Akhmatbayev is expected to become chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Security, Rule of Law, and Information Policy. Is that shocking? Arno de Birchgrave states that a law enforcement delegation from Tajikistan, now touring the U.S. under State Department auspices, made clear to him that the Bush administration cannot expect democracy to take root in tribal societies that lived under Soviet rule for 70 years. Russia and Tajikistan are expanding their security cooperation on the border with Afghanistan by conducting anti-terrorist activities. During these exercises, in which Russia tried to intimidate the drug warlords, three Tajik border guards were wounded in a firefight with Afghan drug dealers on the Tajik-Afghan border. The connection between transnational terrorism, that's terrorism across national boundaries, and transnational crime is increasingly evident on all Afghan borders. Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Pakistan, and also Iran. And it seems that no power on earth can do much about it. So to the east and north, U.S. is faced with a less than friendly set of allies. As de Birchgrave puts it, it seems that the U.S. democratic crusade has lost its head of steam from the stands to the Middle East. The U.S. is faced with trying to stretch military operations around the globe with active war fronts in Afghanistan and Iraq, while the Iranian situation grows tenser with each passing day, and the days are flying by. Diplomats from six countries met in Moscow this week to map out the next step towards solving the Iranian nuclear standoff. The United States and Britain say that if Iran does not comply with the UN Security Council's April the 28th deadline to stop uranium enrichment, they will seek a resolution that would make the demand compulsory, but Russia and China remain wary of sanctions. As the diplomats met in Moscow this week, oil hit a record $72.20 a barrel as Iran defied world pressure to halt its nuclear program, raising new fears of a cut in supplies from the world's fourth biggest crude exporter. Iran also controls the Straits of Hormuz, where a large percentage of the world's crude is shipped. In London, North Sea Brent crude oil jumped 74 cents to set the new all-time high as Iran and the West exchange increasingly sharp words over the Islamic Republic's determination to push ahead with uranium enrichment. Ministers from the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, that's OPEC, will meet informally this weekend during an International Energy Forum meeting in Doha, Qatar, say there is nothing more the group can do to bring down prices. Qatari oil minister Abdullah Al-Attiyah told Qatar state news agency, quote, "It is obvious that OPEC does not have a magic wand. OPEC, he says, is doing all it can regarding oil production." He went on to say geopolitics are riding the price, stressing that there was no shortage of crude in the market. And at the same time, the major oil corporations are reporting record profits, while the average American struggles to make ends meet. Arnaud Day Birchgrave, editor of the Washington Times, also reports that the Chinese have a long-range deal with Iran for guaranteed oil supplies to the tune of $100 billion. He continues and states, Iran is also one of Russia's best armaments customers. And it is now being reported that Germany supplied Iran with some of the technology needed for enrichment of nuclear fuel to weapons-grade standards. So Germany might not be as staunch a supporter of the harsh penalties that the U.S. wants if Iran doesn't stop its nuclear quest. They might not be as staunch a supporter as the U.S. had hoped for. So as the Bush administration juggles military options, it appears to be running out of diplomatic options. The relentless, threatening rhetoric from Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad continues to mount. Last week, he declared Iran a nuclear power, saying it had enriched uranium, achieving the major hurdle for building a nuclear bomb. This week, he delivered a warning to any nation considering attacking the Islamic Republic. In a boastful speech during an armed forces parade, he stated, quote, today, Iran's army is one of the most powerful armies in the world, and it will powerfully defend the country's political borders and the nation. He went on to say, quote, it will cut off the hands of any aggressors and will make any aggressor regret it, end of quote. According to Arabic speaker Professor Gilles Cabel, one of France's leading experts on al-Qaeda, stated that al-Qaeda has a long-range, comprehensive plan for defeating America and taking over the Middle East. Cabel published a paper titled An Analysis of the Public and Intercepted Private Utterances of the Two Z's, the Two Z's being Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's number two man, and Abu Musab Zarqawi, al-Qaeda's insurgency boss in Iraq. Cabel writes that al-Qaeda's strategy is to defeat the U.S. and Iraq, use this victory to roll over traditional oil-rich regimes in the Gulf that are security wards of the U.S., and then focus on Israel. So the ultimate goal, of course, is the focus on Israel, just as the Bible prophesies in Zechariah chapter 12, that eventually all the nations of the world are going to be gathered against Jerusalem. Will they be able to destroy Jerusalem? You need to open the pages of your Bible and read for yourself Zechariah chapter 12. Ahmadinejad opened a conference. The conference was for the purpose of supporting the Palestinians around the world by saying Israel was a permanent threat to the Middle East, in his words, that will soon be liberated. He went on to say, like it or not, quote, the Zionist regime is a rotten, dried tree that will be eliminated by one storm. So who will stop Iran? Can Iran be stopped by diplomatic measures? Perhaps if Russia, China, and the EU really come together with the U.S. But note I said perhaps. Western leaders still don't grasp the fact that there are powerful spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. There is a great religious fervor that motivates Ahmadinejad along with the Ayatollah, the clerics, and the mullahs of Iran, as well as other Muslims across the face of the earth. They view their cause as righteous and just in the eyes of Allah, and they're willing to die for Allah. Young people are lining up, volunteering to serve as suicide bombers. No, this crisis will not be solved through diplomatic efforts. Ahmadinejad recently concluded one of his speeches by stating, quote, on the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian nation, numbering by the millions, call upon those governments to worship the Almighty God. He goes on to say, the era of military force is over. Today is the era of nations, logic, and worshipers of God, end of quote. President Bush this week in a news conference in the Rose Garden told reporters, quote, all options are on the table to prevent Iran from developing atomic weapons. But he went on to say that he will continue to focus on the international diplomatic option to persuade Tehran to drop its nuclear ambitions. President Bush will meet this week with Chinese President Hu Jintao this week at the White House and ask him to step up pressure on Iran when the two leaders are holding their conference. However, there is little hope that China will be sympathetic to the president's plea. In the meantime, the situation in Israel grows tenser with each passing day as the suicide bombers continue to take the lives of innocent men, women, and children. On the home front, Pat Buchanan writes, Americans, it appears, have had a bellyful of interventionism and globaloney. 3 in 5 Americans now believe the Iraq war, whether we invaded to oust Saddam, strip him of weapons of mass destruction, turn Iraq into a democracy, or establish a benevolent global hegemony, was and is not worth the cost in blood and money. They're saying that a NAFTA-GATT trade policy that results in $800 billion trade deficits and the loss of 3 million manufacturing jobs, one in every six in just 5 years, should be jettisoned. When they read of China growing at 10% a year as factories close in the United States and GM and Ford, once the two greatest companies on the face of the earth are lingering outside a bankruptcy court, they think we can do better. They're not saying they dislike foreigners, but they are saying a government cannot stop an invasion across our Mexican border that has left 12 million to 20 million intruders in our country stomping around under foreign flags and demanding the benefits of U.S. citizens is a failed regime that needs to be replaced. After all, he writes, what does it profit us if we save Anbar province but lose Arizona? And what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your potential for eternal life? So as you sip your coffee tomorrow morning, instead of turning on the news, open your Bible, begin to read the good news of the coming kingdom of God. So what about you? Are you going to seek the truth now while it may be found and call upon God while he is near? The choice is up to you. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on our program, you may call our toll-free number and request the Good News Magazine and Are We Living in the Last Days? No follow-up, no charge, no one will call on you. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. 5614, and be sure to be tuned to this same station next week for World News and Prophecy.